The game is over. Your Bucks postgame show starts now. Welcome to Bucks Talk. Insight, analysis, and your chance to sound off on the game you just heard. Now to break it all down, here's your host, Justin Garcia.
Well, the Bucks remain perfect in group play, and look, this team remains very, very good in the clutch. We talked about it approaching the fourth quarter in that, for whatever reason, and look, we know a big part of that reason is Damian Lillard, but it's in a one-man show here. This team has been very good in clutch situations this season. Damian Lillard came into play tonight as the fourth leading scorer in clutch situations, and now with his performance tonight, the updated numbers show Damian Lillard has scored the most points this season in clutch situations. So again, when the margin is 5 points or fewer at any moment during the final 5 minutes of the game, Damian Lillard has scored 47 points in those situations. That is the most total points scored in clutch games this season. Bucks are 6-1 in games when Damian Lillard plays in those clutch games. And, you know, Damian Lillard, as he told us, kind of not really jokingly either, matter-of-factly pointed out, look, this, I think I'm showing my value in these moments of games. When we talked to him on the post game tonight, leads the league not only in total scoring in those situations, but also the per-game average ahead of Trae Young. Damian Lillard, Trae Young, and Mikal Bridges have been the three best players in the clutch so far this season, and it's a trait we have seen all throughout Damian Lillard's career. And as we talked about a little bit earlier tonight on Bucks Shootaround, even though you lost that game to the Boston Celtics, to me, one of the big takeaways, I wouldn't say the big takeaway, but one of the big takeaways was, look, as much as it hurts to give up Drew Holiday and to see what he did defensively against us and against Giannis, that entire game, and especially those final 4 minutes, that was proof we made the right move, that we had to go out and get this Damian Lillard because of how he changes the complexion of the game and how, for as poorly as the Bucks had played for large stretches of that game, not just because of Damian Lillard, but a big part of it was Damian Lillard, you put yourself in the position to have a chance to steal that game. It's not something the Bucks would have done in their old iterations and with the previous, not just Drew Holiday, it's not just comparing Drew to Dame, the previous makeup of the team, it's not the same. And I think you're starting to see more and more of that. Games like this are important because this team is still growing, they're still learning, they're still developing chemistry. So as you can win games like this, not only does it galvanize you as a team and as a group, but I think it really expedites and speeds up that process as well. And it should pay some big dividends when we get to March, hopefully, or when we get to April, hopefully May and June as well. 855-616-1620 is the old National Bank Talk and Text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk as the Bucks win another game in the clutch, bounce back from a tough loss to the Boston Celtics on Wednesday night, and perhaps more importantly, stay unbeaten in group play of the in-season tournament. I talked a little bit about that on the network post-game. I know it's not the best format to go through standings and numbers and point differential in an audio format, but we'll break it down a little more and basically take a look, not to look past the Portland Trailblazers, because I do want to spend some time on that as well and what that's going to mean for Damian Lillard. But I do want to take a look at that matchup with the Miami Heat on Tuesday, because as we've said for over a week now, there's a very good chance the Bucks are going to be advancing to the knockout round. And now remember, the knockout round is not played in Las Vegas, only the semifinals. But not only the Bucks advance, if you win on Tuesday, it's all but certain that the Bucks are going to be the one seed in the Eastern Conference, and that means you would draw that wild card. It became even more interesting earlier today when the Boston Celtics lost. There's a decent chance we won't even see the Celtics in this tournament. So a big win for the Bucks for a number of reasons tonight. We'll take a look at the team clutch numbers. I know we mentioned where Dame rates, but we'll take a look at the rest of the numbers for the team and dive into a little closer look at the rest of the in-season tournament after this on Bucks Talk. 3-point win for the Bucks, outlasting the Washington Wizards and improving to 3-0 now in group play of this in-season tournament. I do want to slow things down and get to some of the details in case we sped through it, because if you're just zooming in and say, look, I still don't get this in-season tournament, I haven't actually seen a single elimination tournament part yet. We'll explain all that and the groups, the standings in the groups, wild card, all of that. We'll break it down in just a second. I do want to get to another text, though, because this texter has chimed in a couple of times, all but implying he doesn't think Damian Lillard is the person that Drew Holiday was off the floor. It's simply not true. Look, Drew Holiday, again, you wish you could have Damian Lillard and Drew Holiday on the same team. And I think would that solve all of the Bucks' defensive issues? Maybe not all of them, but a lot of it. Same for off the court in who they are in the community. I know Drew Holiday was very, very connected to this community with he and his wife and their foundation, and he did that in just such a short period of time. Damian Lillard is the same guy. Anybody in Portland would tell you that. Any Portland Trailblazers fan or member of the media out there that dealt with Damian Lillard and saw what he did in their community for over a decade. Damian Lillard, by the way, also a Twyman Stokes Teammate of the Year award winner. So this isn't a downgrade of we traded out one guy that was a defensive player and excellent in the community for one guy that's an offensive player and not so much in the community. They're the same guy off the court in that regard, and they're just different styles of play on the court. So Damian Lillard, it's not a matter of comparing who's better, but to say that, hey, I think we've seen that Drew Holiday is a good guy and Damian Lillard is not, which this individual seems to be insinuating a couple times, is just not true. As for the group play, so again, the main thing you need to know is the Bucks group B, remains unsettled. So we are going to have three group winners and one wild card from each conference. All we know right now is the Indiana Pacers have won Group A. They finish in that group 4-0 with a point differential of 39. Right now, the Bucks' point differential is also 39. So if the Bucks win on Tuesday, they will be the one seed because they will not only be 4-0, but they right now have a point differential that is equal to the Indiana Pacers. If you win the game, that means you score more than your opponent. Your point differential would be at least one. So they would move past the Indiana Pacers with point differential there. Either the Pacers or the Bucks are going to be the one seed in the Eastern Conference in this in-season tournament. The Bucks can still win the group, even if they lose to the Miami Heat on Tuesday. And not only that, they can still get into the in-season tournament even if they lose to the Heat and do not win the group. So the way that would happen, right now in Group A, I mentioned the Pacers are 4-0. Next in line is the Cleveland Cavaliers, who are 2-1. The Philadelphia 76ers finish at 2-2. They're probably done with a point differential of just 9 and already 2 losses. Same for the Atlanta Hawks, who have a negative point differential, and they're 1-2. And then you got the Cleveland Cavaliers, who have a very, very small point differential right now at plus 6, and they're 2-1. So let's say Cleveland wins on Tuesday when group play wraps up. They play the Atlanta Hawks. If they win and get to 3-1, they would need to win by quite a significant amount of points, assuming the Bucks don't get blown out, to catch the Bucks for that wild card spot in this scenario. It's seeming like you're only going to get one representative from Group A, and that's going to be the Indiana Pacers. In Group C, also wide open. Right now, the Orlando Magic are 3-1. They're done. And the only other teams that have a chance to win that group are the Boston Celtics or the Brooklyn Nets. Those two teams play the Toronto Raptors and the Chicago Bulls. both of those teams, the Raptors and Bulls, have been eliminated. So if the Celtics win, they would be 3-1. And if the Nets lose, they would be 2-2 if that scenario unfolds. The Magic would be 3-1, and they would hold the tiebreaker over the Celtics, so the Orlando Magic would win Group C. Basically, the Celtics need to win, and they also need the Nets to win to force a three-way tie. And the Celtics would also need to win by blowout to catch the Magic for point differential. So that's where point differential becomes important, because when you're only playing four games, you're not going to be able to decide everything just by looking at head-to-head performance. It's going to come down to that next tiebreaker, which is point differential. So right now, we're looking at a very strong possibility of the in-season tournament advancing to the knockout round, which more or less is the quarterfinals, and a quarterfinals that would not have the Philadelphia 76ers and would not have the Boston Celtics. It could potentially even not have the Milwaukee Bucks, depending on what happens on Tuesday. But here's the scenario I think everybody is most interested in for Group B. So once again, the four other teams in Group B alongside the Bucks are the New York Knicks, the Miami Heat, the Charlotte Hornets, and the Washington Wizards. The Bucks beat the Knicks on November 3rd, their first game of group play. The Knicks just beat the Heat tonight. So if it came down to, if the Bucks would not have won this game and finished at 2-1, or had been 2-1 rather than 3-0, that would have set up a scenario where if the Heat win on Tuesday, Bucks would finish at 2-2. You would have potential of a Knicks-Heat tie where the head-to-head tiebreaker would come into play. So now that's out the window. There is a possibility of a three-way tie with the Bucks, the Knicks, and the Heat all finishing at 3-1. The way we would get to that is the Miami Heat beat the Bucks on Tuesday. Miami would finish 3-1. The Bucks would drop to 3-1. And the New York Knicks wrap up their in-season slate with the Charlotte Hornets. If the Knicks win that game, they're 3-1. And we would have three teams tied at 3-1. But again, right now, the Knicks have a point differential of plus 18. The Miami Heat are plus 12, and the Bucks are plus 39, so more than 20 points better than either of those two teams. So once more, if it comes down to a three-way tie and we're looking at point differential, as long as the Bucks don't lose to the Miami Heat by more than 12 points, whatever that would be, that would take away, as long as they don't lose by more than 13 points, they would be your representatives from Group B, assuming the Knicks follow suit as well, because it's a 21-point difference between the Bucks and the Knicks in points scored versus given up in group play. And right now it's plus 27 with the Miami Heat. So as long as the Bucks don't get blown out, even if they lose to the Heat on Tuesday and the Knicks don't win in blowout fashion, the Bucks would still likely win the group when it comes down to point differential as your tiebreaker in the event of a three-way tie. But the easiest way around that is to just win that game on Tuesday, and you would finish 4-0. And not only that, as we mentioned, because of point differential, you would be guaranteed to be the one seed in the Eastern Conference. So the way it's going to work now, everybody that's complained about in-season tournament when it's not actually a tournament, the tournament play starts after Tuesday. So we will go to quarterfinals, knockout play, where the one seed will play the four seed, which is the wild card, and the next two group winners will play each other. So it's going to be either the Bucks, if they win, versus the wild card, or the Indiana Pacers versus the wild card. And then you would have the representatives from groups B and C playing each other, or the Pacers playing the representative from Group C. The winner of those two games, or winners of those two games, then moves on to Las Vegas. So Las Vegas will host the semifinals in both conference, and then the championship game as well for this in-season tournament, which will wrap up December 9th. So right now, all you need to care about is win on Tuesday, and we know not only are the Bucks advancing to the knockout round, they will be the one seed in the Eastern Conference and will be hosting whoever the wild card ends up being in early December. So 7th and 9th are when your semifinals and championship game are played. I believe it is the 4th and or the 3rd and the 5th, I believe, is when we will have our knockout rounds taking place. So one more game left, but the Bucks in a very, very good position for this inaugural in-season tournament. I do want to take a look at the rest of the clutch numbers. I know we gave Damian Lillard scoring in clutch situations this season, but I do want to take a look at the rest of the numbers for the Bucks, because we mentioned a little bit how this group has looked since November 3rd. How they've looked in the clutch all season long is what has been the constant. We'll dive into the numbers after this on Bucks Talk. The Bucks 3-0 in group play of the in-season tournament. And again, there are ways for the Bucks to either win Group B or get the wild card, even if they lose on Tuesday against the Miami Heat. But the easiest way to punch your ticket to the quarterfinals is to just beat the Miami Heat. You will finish 4-0, and you will have the best point differential in the Eastern Conference, locking down the one seed for the Bucks. That is a given if they win on Tuesday night in Miami. So you win on Tuesday, you're guaranteed to be one of the 8 teams playing in the single elimination tournament of this in-season tournament. 855-616-1620 is the Old National Bank talk and text line to join us on the program tonight. And look, it took us 20-plus minutes to even get to this, but Brook Lopez matches his career high with 39 points. Back-to-back games with 28 points or better. He's done that less than 10 times in his career, has never done it in a Bucks uniform. And all of this kind of goes back to November 3rd, when coincidentally the in-season tournament or group play began. That was the first game where we saw Adrian Griffin say, look, I listened to the players. They came to me and they said, we got to play this way. You got to use Brook this way. He's going to be better off here. I think our defense will be better off here. And we saw Brook Lopez played in the drop more. Not only did the Bucks' defense start to get better, Brook Lopez's individual defensive numbers began to skyrocket. After tonight's performance, in which Brook Lopez once again added 3 more blocked shots, he is your league leader in blocked shots. Leads the league in number of blocked shots and in blocks per game with what he has done in these past, 12 games. But I think you're seeing offensively as well. There's a lot more comfort from Brook Lopez on the defensive end, and I think that's carried over to the offensive end as well, where he has been Mr. Reliable. Before the game, we heard from Wes Unseld Jr. talking about Brook Lopez and what he's been able to do recently, and said, you know, one of the difficult things about Brook is we've seen him put the ball on the floor and attack the paint more. And I think that's really a credit to the last 5 years, really 6 years from Brook, when you think back to that lone year he spent in Los Angeles with the Lakers, and that he's gotten so good at his pump fakes, and you have to respect his shot, that when you go out there, if you contest too hard, and when he gets that pump fake, as Wes Unseld said, it's an elongated shot fake, and he shoots it high, he just gets you lifted, and then he's downhill. It's deliberate, it's not dynamic, but it's effective. We saw that twice tonight, where he's putting the ball on the floor a lot more, attacking the basket, and scoring around the rim. I think Wes Unseld summed it up perfectly. It is not dynamic, but it's effective. 39 points tonight from Brook Lopez. Back-to-back games where he had 12 points in the fourth quarter. He has been absolutely fantastic. And once more, I really think the comfort that he's been able to play with on the defensive end has allowed for this to carry over offensively. And, you know, one of the other things we mentioned on the broadcast, That chemistry between he and Damian Lillard seems to be developing very quickly. Even Dame has talked about Brooks' screening ability and what that's freed up for Dame when you think about all of the downhill play we've seen from Damian Lillard and his ability to turn the corner and attack the basket. A lot of that is a credit to the work that Brooke Lopez has done screening for him. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let's head to the phones and talk with Will I Am. What's going on tonight, Will?
Hey, not too much, man. What a win. And I got to see my boy, Brooke, the tree trunk Lopez, take an aerial, one aerial assault and on the dribble assault. I know you saw it. At the end of the game, he had some incredible footwork. Did he work out with Olajuwon? Because it shows. Also, I know you see it as well, Justin, that little Euro step. You can't stop a tree trunk when he's trying to Euro step you, especially when you keep the ball in the sky. I mean, dude's 7 foot. There's no way he's going to be stopped. And to get to the hoop with ease, we got to get his back doctor all of the credit, my Lord, and on the floor for the hustle plays. And my last point, I want to leave you and see what you want to say about this. Sometimes when I watch the game, I see that, you know, no one can get in the paint when he's there. You'll see the huge block, et cetera. But sometimes, I know obviously we're human here, but people might just blow by. Is there any way to kind of position that? Because it seems at the end of this game they kept trying to attack the paint, but it didn't really work, but it kind of did. I don't know. It's kind of hard because, you know, when we're scoring at such a high rate, it's, I don't know if the defense can follow sometimes. What do you suggest, Justin, at the end there, you know, when they were kind of like knocking on the door and wouldn't go away? What do you suggest?
Well, and thanks for the call, Will. Look, this Wizards team is interesting because they're entirely an offensive team. And I think Griff talked about it a little bit at the end that we've seen him kind of try to strike this balance as best he can. A couple of times this season, where, you know, very early in the season, the first four games, we didn't see a whole lot of Brooke Lopez closing the game or really in those clutch situations in the final 5 minutes of the game. We've seen more of it. He didn't close the game per se tonight, but we've seen more of Brooke on the floor later in games. And that's a big part of it. It's just the personnel that's going to be on the floor. There's a handful of teams that you can look at and say, they're not going to stretch things quite as much where it would be difficult to keep Brooke out there. The reason it was difficult tonight was, you know, the Wizards went very, very small to close the game. And you had Daniel Gafford out there at times, but for a lot, for stretches of this, Kyle Kuzma was basically your five. And early in the second half and late in the second quarter, when the Wizards went on their runs, it was when they were playing smaller, and you had Gallinari as basically your five, playing five men out and basically saying, look, nobody's going to be around the basket, so we're not allowing Brooke to just hang out there. And that's where those blow-bys that you mentioned come into play. So a lot of it is just going to be personnel-dependent. I was a little surprised we didn't see more of a traditional or pure matchup of, look, when Danilo Gallinari's on the floor, Brooke is off the floor. That's really the only thing that you can do in those spots because you don't have, and this is not a knock on Dame Lillard or Campaign or Malik Beasley or any of these guys, but you don't have Drew Holiday anymore, and you don't have that guy that you trust and say, we think he's going to win his battle on the perimeter, and not only that, he's not going to get blown by, but rather he's going to funnel you into Brooke Lopez, who we know is always in the right spot. So it's just going to be personnel-based and matchup-dependent, but also some of those things like the blow-bys, not just with Brooke, but with the rest of the team, and some of the switching, too, with some of those open looks the Wizards got in that game, that's something that should start to clean up as the season progresses as well, because there's going to be more switching. Bucks did that down the stretch. I know they did it at times the last few years, but it takes time when you're going to become switch-heavy and just get in more reps of that. The only way to get better at it is to do it. And when you first start to do it, I think we remember this from 2021, it doesn't look good when you're doing it initially and you're doing it for the first time for some of these guys. It can look really, really bad. And that's the spot the Bucks are in now. I'm not saying that's all of their issues defensively, but it can look much worse than it is at times because, you know, switching is kind of an art, and it just takes more reps to get better at it. And Brooke's a guy I don't imagine you're going to do any if at all, a whole lot of switching with him. But yeah, it's just going to be dependent on who's out there on the floor, and it may open the door for more of Giannis at the five. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. When we come back, some of these numbers, impressive numbers in clutch situations. I'll fill you in on where the Bucks rank next on Bucks Talk. .131-128 final here inside of Fiserv Forum. Bucks knock off the Wizards and set up a big one Tuesday in Miami against the Heat, where the winner of that game, a very good chance, I should say, the winner of that game represents Group B. If the Bucks win, they obviously will. If the Miami Heat do, they would be the representatives if it's just down to the Bucks and the Heat. If the Knicks win as well and we get a three-way tie, then it becomes a bit more convoluted. But the easiest way to punch your ticket onto the knockout round is to beat the Miami Heat on Tuesday. We mentioned Damian Lillard and what he has done in clutch situations thus far this season. And here's the other thing. It's not just Damian Lillard. He has obviously carried that load individually. But this Bucks team, that is the biggest difference we had seen. Remember, there were years where the Bucks would go through these stretches of not having that many reps in clutch situations because they were blowing teams out. That hasn't been the case this season. The Bucks have the second best record in clutch games. They're 6-2. The Dallas Mavericks are the only team that's better at 7-1. Oh, by the way, that one loss was to the Bucks. Boston Celtics are 6-3, and one of those wins technically is against the Bucks because of what Damian Lillard did down the stretch to make that a competitive game. But here's the numbers you need to know that stand out the most for the Bucks this season. Not just the 6-2 mark in these games. Right now the Bucks have the third best offense in those games where it's a 5 point or less margin of difference in the final 5 minutes of the game. 127.6 offensive rating is third best in the league, trailing only the Indiana Pacers and the Dallas Mavericks. Most impressively, the Bucks have a 96.1 defensive rating. That is seventh best in the league in those clutch situations. And they have a net rating of 31.6, which is tops in the NBA. Their offense has been even better than elite in the clutch. Their defense has been outstanding. And top to bottom, this Bucks team, if we're just looking at net rating, has been the best team in the league in close games this season. We'll wrap up the show and preview what figures to be a special and likely emotional game for Damian Lillard on Sunday after this on Bucks Talk. Three-point win here at Fiserv Forum as the Bucks remain perfect in group play of this in-season tournament and have a big one Tuesday in Miami against the Heat. Again, Miami Heat lose tonight, watching a 21-point lead slip away. The Knicks come back from a 21-point deficit in the second half and win. So Miami and the Knicks are both 2-1 now, and the Bucks are 3-0. They beat the Miami Heat. They are in the knockout round of the in-season tournament and in group play. So the other scenario, if they lose to Miami and the Knicks beat the Hornets, and neither Miami nor the Knicks catch the Bucks in point differential, the Bucks will win Group B as well. But the easiest way to do so is to win on Tuesday, and you will be the representative for Group B in the knockout round of the in-season tournament. Next game is going to be Sunday, an afternoon matchup here at Fiserv Forum, and it figures to be what will likely be an emotional one for Damian Lillard. It will be his first time facing the Portland Trail Blazers, where he came up in the NBA and spent all of his career prior to this season. So the Blazers come to Milwaukee Thanksgiving weekend for an afternoon matinee basketball game here at Fiserv Forum between these two teams. And it's the Blazers team that has been going through their struggles this season. So when we talk about get-right games, this should be another one of those for the Bucks moving into that matchup with the Miami Heat next Tuesday. 2:30 tip, 2 o'clock is when our pregame coverage begins on these airwaves. My thanks to everybody for tuning in tonight, and Matt Sossler for producing the show. Talk to you Sunday afternoon with more Bucks Talk.